When I was ordained a priest just over 3 years ago, I received my first assignment just a few days prior on a Thursday, and I was ordained on that following Saturday. And my classmates and I, of course, we were excited, we were nervous. What's my future gonna hold? And so we sat around the archbishop and he handed us each a letter. We opened those letters and mine said, "I'm entrusting to you to be the associate pastor at All Saints Catholic Church in Lakeville, Minnesota." And I knew this parish. I had worked there when I was a missionary and I knew that it was gonna be big. And I said, "Okay, here we go." And then those few days after, I was ordained a priest and sent for my first assignment. But in the afternoon of my ordination, as most men who are ordained do, I had a reception. So I gathered most of my family and lots of my friends over in West St. Paul, and we had a nice meal and kind of like a wedding reception that you've been to before. There's a time for some toasts, time for some honoring. And so I asked one of my good friends who was a priest. I'd known him for 12 years at that point. He was my supervisor when I was a missionary. He preceded me into the seminary, into the priesthood. And I asked him if he'd share some words to me and to my guests. And I'll never forget what he said. He said, "The people of All Saints, they're gonna love Father Chad." And I thought, all right. Maybe this priesthood thing isn't as hard as I thought. Maybe it's gonna be a piece of cake. But then he finished his sentence, "Because he's not the pastor." And those words kind of sunk in and sat in the back of my head. So when 2 years later, I took the call from Bishop Cousins saying, "Archbishop Hebda would like you to be the pastor of St. Jude of the Lake in Matamidi." There was some excitement, of course, but then those words, "But he's not the pastor." I knew there'd be challenges. I knew there'd be hard decisions I'd have to make. I couldn't have imagined in my first year as parochial administrator that we'd go through everything we've gone through together. A global pandemic, my first year, whoopee! When I started preparing for this installation mass about a month ago, looked at the readings I had to send them into the Archdiocese to see what Bishop Cousins would be preaching here at my installation, I said, "Wow, he's gonna have some good readings. You duped me, O Lord." And I let myself be duped. Those are the words of Jeremiah today. And I can pray those in a certain way now as pastor. You duped me, but I let myself be duped. A pastor, ultimately, he doesn't know everything that it will involve, but he knows there will be some duping. He knows there will be some suffering. He knows it will take preaching hard messages at times and bearing with one another. That's what Jeremiah came to understand in the first reading. He had a temptation to flee. He had a temptation to say, "This is gonna be too much for me, Lord." He said, "I say to myself, I won't mention him. I'll speak in his name no more." He tried to make his way out, to say, "This prophecy thing, let someone else have it." But then Jeremiah goes on and he accepts his role. He says, "I will speak in his," he says, "but then it becomes like a fire burning in my heart, imprisoned in my bones. I grow weary holding it in. I cannot endure it." And I think every pastor comes to that place, or at least he should. You know, when he's tempted to flee, when he's tempted to take the easy way out, he listens to his heart and finds there a burning, finds there something that cannot be quenched unless it's unleashed. And that's what a pastor does. A pastor listens to that spirit inside of him, and he leads his flock to heaven. That's ultimately my role here. I'm not here to win a popularity contest. I'm here to lead you to heaven. And I want you to know that. I care so much about you that I never want to leave you. I want to be with you forever in heaven. That's the goal of every Christian life. One of the old catechisms for our country, the Baltimore Catechism, there's that question, why did God make you? And some of you could answer it back with me. God made me to know him, to love him, to serve him in this world, and to be happy with him forever in heaven. That's what we're going for. Nothing short of heaven. Nothing short of being saints. Only saints go to heaven. You know, sometimes people say, oh, Father, I'm no saint. Well, you better be. We have to leave the sin behind us. We have to become saints if we're going to fulfill that ultimate purpose that God has created us for, to be happy with him forever in heaven. One of my favorite stories of the patron of priests, St. John Vianney, and maybe I've told this to you before, it's from the first day he walks into his parish. He's traveling throughout the countryside of France, looking for his new pastorate, the little town of Ars, and he gets lost. And he meets a little boy, Antoine, and he says, would you show me the way to Ars? I'm lost. I'm the new pastor there. This was 200 years ago, and we still know the story because Antoine tells it. Antoine, as a little boy, pointed to Ars. It was just over the hill through the fog, and St. John Vianney, the new pastor, he looks into the city, into the windows of the town. He says, it's so small. And he kneels down. He says a prayer. And then he gets up and he says to Antoine, you have shown me the way to Ars, and I will show you the way to heaven. That's what a pastor does. A pastor points the way to heaven. He points the way to God. He points the way away from my selfishness, away from my sin. And he points the way to sanctity. St. Paul was another good pastor. We hear from him today. In another one of his letters, he would say, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Like Jeremiah, he knew that his call was to preach. He knew his call was to lead others to heaven. And he's talking to the Romans today, and he gives them a charge. He gives them the instructions. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. What a challenge. Offer my body as a sacrifice? That's what Paul says it takes to be holy. It's what it takes to be pleasing to God, to offer him spiritual worship, to offer my life as a sacrifice. And then he gives us this line, do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. We can't live for this world, brothers and sisters. It will always fall short. It will always leave us unhappy. Yeah, we got to live for God today. We have to know him, love him, serve him in this world. But we can't be conformed to it. We can't act like this is all there is. We have to live for heaven. We have to be transformed by the renewal of our minds. If we always seek what's comfortable, if we always seek what's of this world, we'll never be satisfied. Peter was tempted to do this in the gospel today. He was tempted to take the easy way out, kind of like Jeremiah in the first reading. He wanted to skip the cross. He wanted to skip the hardship. He wanted to skip the suffering. And so he rebukes Jesus. He rebukes him when he talks about his death. He talks about his suffering. He talks about how he'll need to be rejected. Peter pulls him aside and says, "Lord, not a popular message. This isn't what people want to hear. God forbid, Lord. No such thing shall ever happen to you." He's tempted to preach against the cross, the way of suffering, the way of rejection. And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." The word Satan here means adversary. He had just called Peter friend before this. He called him rock. He called him one of his own. And now he says, "You're my adversary. You're not speaking the way God speaks. You're speaking the way man speaks. You're speaking the way of the world. And I've called you from the world." That's what Jesus says. He says, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself." If you want to be with me, if you don't want to be my adversary, here's a cross. Pick it up. Follow me. If you want to save your life, you got to lose it. You have to go the way of rejection. You have to go the way of suffering. You have to go the way of the cross if you're going to come follow me to heaven. That's what Jesus lays out for us. That's his roadmap. Paul tells us to not be conformed to this age. And Jesus says, pick up your cross. Not popular messages, but they're messages, brothers and sisters, of hope. They're messages that will bring us to the happiness that we desire and will only be found in heaven. Today's a feast day of another French saint, Saint Jeanne Jagan. She was the foundress of the Little Sisters of the Poor. You've probably heard of this religious order. They're here in our own archdiocese. They take care of the sick and the poor and the suffering in their last days. In recent years, they've been all over the news because of their standing for the truth and their principles and morals. Even Father Erickson has a sister in the Little Sisters of the Poor. And Saint Jeanne, their patron, their foundress, would always encourage her sisters to be very little before God. It even is there in their name, the Little Sisters of the Poor. In recent years, it seems like, wow, they're giants standing against different things in our own country. But they always remember their littleness. They always remember their insignificance. And I think that's helpful for us. And then Saint Jeanne Jagan, again, she has another quote that I'll give you today, a quote of hope and a quote that leads us forward. She said, "Do not call me Jeanne Jagan. All that is left of her is Sister Mary of the Cross." That was her religious name. "Unworthy though she is of that lovely name." Saint Jeanne Jagan wanted to be little. Saint Jeanne Jagan wanted to be forgotten. She wanted to be known only as Sister Mary of the Cross. What a lovely roadmap for us to get to heaven. To be known only by the cross. You know, we hear about the doorway into heaven a lot, how it's a narrow gate. I think it's more small than narrow. I think we have to be little to get through it. And I also think it has a shape. You know, like when we were kids and we had those toys and you had the star peg and the circle peg and the square peg and the triangle peg, and each one has its own hole. I think the door to heaven is like that. It's the shape of a cross. And if I'm not in the shape of a cross, I can't get in. If I'm not small enough, I can't get in. A square won't go through the cross. A circle, a triangle, they won't go through the cross. It takes my littleness, it takes my abandonment to get into heaven, to be holy, to be happy. And so I'm committed, brothers and sisters, to leading that way with you and for you, to leading the way of humility, to being small, to making my life in the shape of a cross. If I can't bring it through the doorway to heaven, if I can't take it through the cross, it has to stay here. If there's some sin, if there's some addiction, if there's some attachment that I have that can't go through the cross, I have to let it go. If there's some program, if there's something that we do at this parish that doesn't go through the cross, it has to be forgotten. So, brothers and sisters, come with me. I'm going to heaven. As your new pastor, I put my foot down today. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be a saint. Come with me.